The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for Friday, November 15, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, the leaders of G20 nations are in Washington, D.C. today to discuss new fiscal policy to avoid another world credit crisis. We'll have these and other stories, and we'll get a weekend look at weather across the corn and soybean belts. It's all on the Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Friday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. December wheat, 5.93 and a quarter, up 15 and a quarter. March, 6.07 and a half, up 14 and a half. December wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade, 5.54 and a quarter, up 16. July, 6.03, up 15 and a quarter. December corn, 3.80 and a quarter, up 3 and a quarter. March, 3.97, up 3 and a quarter. May, 4.08 and a half, up 3 and 3 quarters. July, 4.19 and 3 quarters, up 3 and 3 quarters. September, 4.30 and a quarter, up 3 and 3 quarters. December of 2009, 4.43, up 2 and 3 quarters. November beans, 8.78. Down 9. January, 8.96, up 2. March, 9.05, up 2. May, 9.15 and 3 quarters, up 2 and a half. July, 9.24, up 2 and a half. August, 9.26 and a half, up 2 and a half. September, 9.24, up 3. November, 9.20, up 2. December soybean meal, 265.50, up 150. January, 266.80, up 170. December soybean oil, 32.60, down 21. January, 32.97, down 20. December live cattle, 90.05, down 50. And November feeders, 96.70, down 47 and a half. And those are today's settlements in Kansas City and Chicago. Let's take a look at outside markets. December crude oil at 57.40 is down 85. The January contract, 58, down 106. December ethanol settled at 161.1, up 1.3. January, 165, up 1.5. December natural gas trading at 631.5, down 3/10. January, 642.2, down 1.5 cents. Let's look at some metals. December silver, 949, the settlement there, up 69. And December gold at 742.50 is up $37.50 on the settlement prices. Taking a look at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in northern and northwestern Indiana and in Illinois, cloudy and turning colder with rain showers gradually changing to snow showers overnight. A light accumulation is possible in parts of northern Illinois. In eastern and southern Indiana, cloudy with rain, lows ranging from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 44 in southeastern Indiana. Tomorrow in Illinois and northwestern Indiana, cloudy, windy, and cold with scattered snow showers and flurries. In eastern and southern Indiana, cloudy with rain changing to snow. Highs ranging from 30 in northwestern Illinois to 45 in southeastern Indiana. Extended highlights on Sunday, dry and slightly milder weather is expected. Another cold front should push through Illinois and Indiana on Sunday evening. So next week we'll start out on a cool note. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey. Joining us now with a look at the futures market is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Let's begin with a general question and get your impressions of the price action on the futures side for the week in beans and corn.
Well, I think it continues to show us this low confidence level in the markets, Dave. Since the move up we had about a week and a half ago, the validity of the low confidence level really showed up again this week as well. It's kind of been supported by not just the USDA report really not giving us any help on the surface with their numbers early in the week, but also I think the biggest thing that probably hit the markets was the idea that Secretary Paulson, the U.S. Treasury Secretary, changing his views on how the TARP money is going to be used on the financial bailout really threw a lot of wrenches into the works as far as the trade as a whole felt as though we were on a certain path, be it right or wrong. At least we had a path mapped out. Today or yesterday's announcement and today's continuing talk about it really causes more frustration. Fortunately, the markets have held up, and I think that's the bright side of how we've ended this week, is the markets seem to have given an idea that maybe the worst is over as far as negative psychology. I know it sounds like we say that about every week, but I keep continuing to feel that way based upon both the supply and the demand. And one of the things that we continue to look at is and continue to press with our clients and pursue in our analysis is the market continues to really only look at the demand side of the fundamental ledger. If they would look at both the supply and the demand side, we still feel like that the Dease corn is still about 60 cents too cheap, the Jan bean still about $1.40 too cheap. So I guess to sum up the week, we're moving towards maybe seeing a look and change in psychology to where we're looking at both more the supply and demand. And I think it probably is based upon the outside markets holding their own in the midst of continued bad news. And also some of the supply issues are starting to get more publicity. And I think one of the big issues next week for corn will be the Western Corn Belt harvest progress with pretty inclement weather coming through in the next 6 days. Just got done with our consultant here in the office, and he gave us a real good outlook, had a pretty high confidence level that the Western Corn Belt's probably not going to get much done at all next week just because it's going to be so cold on top of already wet conditions. So you've got that in the corn supply side, and then in the bean supply side, you've got Argentina. It's looking drier. The near-term forecast, the updates at noontime were not good. About half the bean belt right now is building into a deficit position as far as moisture. So hopefully we'll continue on this idea of getting both supply and demand looked at.
What will trigger traders to let go of their total focus on demand? You had mentioned some stabilization in the markets. Do you have any benchmarks?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you became just a strict technician, this is probably one of the best times to start learning charts because it is amazing at how contrary and how opposite the dollar looks compared to the wheat or the copper or the crude oil. The dollar is, when it goes to major resistance levels and tries to poke its head above its old contract highs, like it did earlier this week on more bad economic data and the Paulson news, you could see almost all commodities and equities go down to their October lows, if not go through them. And then the dollar could not finish the job yesterday. It sold off after trying to hit new contract highs, went down close to its support line. All of a sudden, you see now at the end of the week, many of the commodities are right butt up against their resistance line. So if you want to take a look at a trader perspective, I think you look at the technicals and you look at something we heard from Chicago this week for the first time in about 4 weeks, and that was the hedge fund redemption, hedge fund liquidation should be ebbing here and coming to an end. The middle of November was a big date for a lot of the commodity trading advisors who work with hedge funds that most of the positions should be liquidated or covered at this point, and they're actually picking wheat positions back up from what we understand both yesterday and today.
Let me cover a few of the picture technicals for our listeners and so that we can comment on them a little better. In the U.S. dollar index, it looks like we're putting in a double top at the moment. We've backed off of that, as you have said. In the corn and the beans, we're right up against 10 and 20-day resistance levels. What is the downside pivot in your estimation in the U.S. dollar that would suggest that we might have a rally in beans and corn?
86.40 40 would be the first line in the sand, Dave, and then right at 86 even. If I could get a close back below 86 even, especially after this G20 meeting that you talked about in your news coverage, I think that would help us a lot. Both psychology traders and technical traders would be, I think, satisfied that the dollar is needing to go ahead and retrace more and hit and go back down maybe below the 85, 84.50 level and hit some other support levels down below that area.
How does crude oil play in all of this?
Well, I think the biggest thing I can say about crude oil is it is another glowing and shining issue that shows the market all it cares about is demand right now. But it was interesting, in the Financial Times this morning, they talked about how 30 of the 160 global refining projects of building brand new refineries around the world, those 160 projects that have been announced since 2005, only 30 of those are still being funded and going to go through. And I think that's where crude oil really plays into the market is, yes, we've gotten a terrific break in price, but at the, and we haven't seen much increase in demand. But the other side of that is refining margins are horrible right now, and I think you're going to be looking at a real supply issue in about 60 to 90 days. If we turn colder and the heating oil market starts to get a little bit active and the natural gas market gets a little bit active, we could actually see the natural and the heating oil market lead the crude oil higher. We recommended to clients this week to book their diesel for the fall and get a little bit of their winter and early spring needs covered, especially since they're below the last year's price. One client told me just north of town here in Lafayette that he got around $2.10, $2.11 for diesel. I think that was probably about 40 cents cheaper than a year ago at this time. So if you're getting prices like that, we like booking it because, we think that the crude oil, probably only looking at the demand side in the market psychology, supply side saying you're not going to have a lot. And I think the last thing you throw on top of that is OPEC. They're probably going to come out and cut again if they keep seeing these prices slip.
Might wheat be the leader to the upside?
I think that was the best news of this week. It returned as a leader. It was up 35 cents on the week, Dave, and it really helped the corn close up on the week. And I think the best way to look at this if you're a producer is we're talking two different markets right now. We're talking a futures market that has and has had for quite some time a negative psychology based upon this demand mindset. But when you look at the cash market, especially for corn and beans, I think wheat is showing us what could be happening in the near term and the near future if we're indeed lower on supply in terms of U.S. bean yield. We on the surface, the USDA report didn't tell us much, but they did lower the Brazilian production number, and I thought that was pretty important given how tight our stocks are going to be up here in the next 3 to 4 months. So I think there's some nice supply numbers there. And what producers probably need to do is go ahead and separate in their minds the future side of the market and the cash side of the market. I think it'll make the psychology and the ability to handle this market mentally a lot easier for producers.
I'm beginning to wonder whether or not between now and the end of the year, producers really need to keep a close eye on all of this, and that may be one of their better marketing opportunities remaining is in that time window.
I really feel that way because if you can get a futures pop and add that to some of this basis narrowing that we've seen here, Dave, that could make up for a lot of the lost revenue from this price break we've seen the last 3 months. I just go back to the idea that as of Monday, we had 71% of the corn harvested in this country. We're looking at about 17.4 million harvested acres of corn in 9 of the key states that is still out in the fields. And I would venture a guess that Monday's numbers are not going to show much improvement and much progress, and I would guess this coming week, based upon our weather consultant's opinion, we're not going to see much improvement or progress in another week. So there, all of a sudden, you're staring at down the barrel of Thanksgiving, and I remember in a USDA report earlier this week, they mentioned how in 1992, 49% of the corn was harvested. The majority of the rest did not even get done until the spring of 93. So I think that's something we really have to look out for, especially if we've got that on-farm storage. I think you bring up a huge point in terms of holding that producer psychology intact.
So 2 billion bushels of corn still in the field or thereabouts, a heating up of the basis, especially among ethanol producers who are finding themselves a little short in the near term. What does it all add up to? 450 or better corn, do you think?
I think that's where we're coming back to the analysis and our sincere belief that corn is about 60 cents too cheap in the D's futures and the Jan beans are $1.42 cheap in the Jan futures, and that's worth holding cash if we would see the dollar spike to new contract highs and we get above 88.65 on a closing basis, say Monday, because of a bullish G20 meeting that takes the dollar to new highs. That's where you come in and get your March puts bought and your corn and your Jan puts bought and your beans, but you leave your cash alone in the bin and on farm, in our opinion.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave. Have a great weekend, sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities. He is in Lafayette, Indiana. He joins us every Friday afternoon on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
In agricultural news, world leaders are in Washington, D.C. today to discuss ways to protect the global economy from a repeat of the worst financial crisis in 80 years. Leaders of the G20 developed and emerging countries, which represent 85% of the world's economy and two-thirds of its population, will discuss ways to try to ensure the crisis, started by a U.S. housing market crash, is not repeated. But agreement over this weekend is unlikely over whether more regulation of markets can protect consumers, savers, and companies from the fallout of such a crisis. Meanwhile, Japan says it is ready to lend up to $100 billion to the International Monetary Fund to support nations reeling from the global financial crisis. The pledge was among proposals outlined in a statement released ahead of today's Group of 20 meeting in Washington, during which Japan hopes to raise its clout as a global leader. China's cabinet rolled out revised value-added tax rules late today in a move to break a slowdown in growth and possibly draw $14.7 billion in additional corporate investments next year. China will switch to consumption-based tax, similar to other major economies, starting on January 1st. The reforms, which have been rolled out on a pilot program basis in a handful of provinces, will allow companies to write off core investment expenses from their tax bills. Meanwhile, China will scrap export taxes on corn, corn flour, and corn starch, while reducing export taxes for wheat and rice, as well as wheat flour and starch, to boost exports and support domestic grain prices. China will scrap a 5% export tax on corn and soybeans and 10% tax on corn flour and starch beginning on December 1st. The financial trouble facing Sioux Falls, South Dakota-based Verisun Energy Corporation could potentially be far worse than company officials imagined. According to a report filed with the U.S. Securities Exchange Commission, Verisun says their losses could be more than $400 million as opposed to the previously reported $99 million loss. Verisun filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on October 31st. The federal government began the new budget year with a record deficit of $237.2 billion. The Treasury Department yesterday said that the deficit for the first month in the new budget year was the highest monthly imbalance on record. The big surge reflected the government spending $115 billion to buy stock in the nation's largest banks. The October deficit began a period in which economists are forecasting the red ink for the entire year could well hit $1 trillion. And Citigroup today says it is cutting at least another 10,000 jobs in its investment bank and other divisions. Citigroup is also notifying some credit card customers that their interest rates are being raised by an average of 3 percentage points. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Joining us now with cash grain analysis is Bruce Bostert of the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
I saw this quote this afternoon. You'll like this. An Iowa grain merchant said, new sales this week were, quote, flowing like molasses on a cold November morning.
I kind of like that. We have really done very little for sales this fall. You know, the last week or so, we're far enough along. People are wrapping up. They're selling a few bushels. You always have a certain amount of sales coming in. But overall, very, very little compared to a historical norm for new crop sales. A lot of bushels getting stored.
And are they getting stored for nearby delivery, or are people really saying, I'm going to hang in there a while?
I don't think they know yet. I think right now we're sitting there and we've seen prices break back so far. People had some sales on the books, really had enough income for this last, you know, for calendar year 2008 that they're putting it away, probably looking for January. So it's a case now of time or price. And then when we get into January, people will be reassessing what their needs are and where we're at from the market standpoint.
Do you think that between now and the end of the year, Bruce, between futures and basis, combination thereof, we might see cash prices of $425 to $450?
Boy, it's going to be a hard fight without seeing an awful lot of help from the general economy. If we stay in this area where a whole lot of unknowns and not much going on, it's sure not giving us any help. You know, every week we go out here and we have good bean sales, and corn sales and shipments continue to be disappointing. It seems like beans are going to have to lead the way if we do anything.
Why is it so disappointing with the corn?
With the corn sales? Yeah. Good question. I think the biggest thing is just different buyers. And the Chinese have been continuing to build some bean stocks and build inventory. So every week we're shipping and selling some beans in pretty good numbers, and the big buyer is China again every week. Everything else has slowed down. You keep hearing problems about getting letters of credit at the Gulf, about sales getting deferred. So I think that's part of it, too.
Turn your attention to the beans. Do you think, same question over the next 4 to 6 weeks, any chance that we might get a $10 bill there?
That would be a hard fight to get that much, but there aren't any beans moving, and there continues to be bean demand out there. Bean basis has continued to firm up, where we haven't done anything in the last week on corn. We've improved by a nickel on soybeans. So I guess I keep hoping that we're going to get the crop in and put away, and where the bean crop's put away, corn is still out here, and we'll get to some point where maybe we'll get into a little bit of an acreage fight, but I think there's an awful lot of us hanging our hats on flat price on that acreage fight actually coming around.
Go ahead and give us your prices then today.
Okay. On corn, we're at $3.55 on nearby corn and $8.72 on soybeans.
Thank you very much, Bruce.
Thank you.
That's Bruce Bostert. He is with the Ludlow Co-op in Ludlow, Illinois. And in just 2 minutes, we'll be back with a look at the agricultural weather with Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Climate Center. It's National Guacamole Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1863, Leo Baekeland was born. He was a chemist who invented Bakelite, the first plastic that did not soften when heated. The synthetic plastic was not only used for insulators, but also molded into buttons, knobs, and countless other items. The invention helped usher in the modern plastics industry. In 1889, Nellie Bly began her successful attempt to beat the record of Jules Verne's fictional Phileas Fogg to go around the world in 80 days. Bly was a U.S. newspaper reporter, and she completed the journey in 72 days, 6 hours, 11 minutes, and 14 seconds. In 1954, an unidentified flying object was reported flying over two tractors, one a diesel, the other gas-powered, in Flory, Italy. It was reported that the engine of the diesel tractor continued to operate, but the tractor with the internal combustion engine stopped and could not be restarted until the UFO vanished. In 1958, International Harvester began production of its International T-340 crawler. Based on the I-340 farm tractor, it featured tank-like treads instead of wheels. And in 1960, OPEC, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, was created. The original five-nation cartel was founded to unify and coordinate members' petroleum policies. And that's this day in agricultural history. And you're listening to the Closing Market Report. This is Dave Dickey joining us now with a look at the agricultural weather is Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Climate Center. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon, Dave.
Well, it looks like we managed here over the in the last little bit of time to avoid any kind of little snow on the ground. What about in the next week or so?
Well, I think we could see some white stuff on the ground very briefly, especially tomorrow where we may get some snow showers, but it probably won't last. We're not getting any kind of weather system in here that's going to lay down a blanket of snow that's going to stick around any more than an hour or so. So we're in a pretty active weather pattern, and obviously we've been talking about the cold weather coming in this weekend, and it will come in. It does look like tomorrow is going to be a pretty blustery, wintry-type day. Strong winds, temperatures in the 30s for the most part, and probably some snow flurries in the air, but nothing that's going to cause any problems.
If you're out at Memorial Stadium, I better think you would bundle up.
Yeah, especially if you're on the in the east balcony or something. Yeah, you're going to want to make sure you're well insulated. And even elsewhere, it's going to be a pretty windy day tomorrow, and that's not going to let up at all. So without any sunshine, it's going to be a very untypical football day.
And then a little bit of a warming after that?
Not much. It's going to warm briefly. It looks like we'll have another cold front, another shot, a reinforcing shot of air coming in here on Monday, early Monday. So there might be it'll be a brief warm-up on Sunday, but very brief. The biggest changes will be seen maybe in far southwestern and southern Illinois, where the warm air might get in a little bit more. And then we'll hold that cold air in here until about midweek. The high moves by, and then we'll have another warm-up into the end of next week before another shot of cold air comes down. Increasingly, that's seeming to be a more glancing blow. But we're in a very active weather pattern right now, and that could end up digging in a little bit farther and sort of give us a repeat of this weekend to some extent. But it does look like for the next week to 10 days, temperatures are going to be below normal. And fortunately, it won't be too much moisture. Anything coming through with these fronts will be light because they'll be moisture-starved.
Turn your attention to the western Corn Belt, where there's a whole bunch of corn yet to be harvested.
Yeah, it's in a way, it's going to be somewhat the same situation. They're going to see cold air, no big precip systems coming in for the next week or so, which is the good news, and hopefully they'll get some drying in. They'll get some snow and precip in this weekend with this huge low that's over the middle section of the country. But after that, I think they'll have a period of relatively dry weather next week that ought to help them get along, do some drying out there.
And very quickly, what about the hard red winter wheat belt?
Dry and, for the most part, warm. I think it's going to be... there's not going to be much going on in the west of the Mississippi at all. The flow is northwesterly aloft, and that's taking all the cold air into the eastern U.S. and keeping things relatively mild and dry in the west.
Thank you much, Steve.
All right, Dave.
That's Steve Hilberg of the Midwestern Climate Center, and that is today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning for Commodity Week at 11:30. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, cash grain analysis, and weather on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.